Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to welcome you to Tuesday night Bible study. I'm Brother Miles, and we are going into a new lesson on this evening. We'll be starting lesson number 4, the Word of Yah. The Word of Yah for this particular lesson. I pray that all is well with everybody. I know that I have been having some health issues. I was at a farmer's market maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I stepped off the curb, and I was turning as I stepped and pulled something in my back, in my back and hip area. And so it had been, you know, kind of bothering me, but it was manageable. But then all of a sudden it just, you know, got extremely, extremely painful and was tender to the touch. And so I had to go to, you know, get checked out and make sure that it wasn't something really, really serious. And so that's what I, you know, where I was the other night when we were supposed to have, I guess Sunday, when we were supposed to have our business meeting. So, you know, I have some pills for muscle relaxers and, you know, pain and that kind of stuff. And so I'll see what happens. I'm going to give it 5 or 6 days to see what goes on. See if I can get this flare up to go away. Anyway, we want to welcome everybody in Blog Talk and Pal Talk. These broadcasts still should be able to heard on those mediums, not Blog Talk, Pal Talk, and on the internet. Pal Talk itself, you cannot call into that number, even though we'll allow to, you know, to schedule a broadcast. When it comes down to actually doing the broadcast, then it's not working. You know, and they still have a sign up. They don't have a sign up when you're scheduling, but when, you know, you don't find out until you really get to try to start your broadcast, and you, you know, you go into the studio and you see the sign saying, hey, we're still having problems. So for those who have been trying to get on, I know that a few have called into the 480 number. And so that is the way that you will have to call in to actually attend any of these. So far, any of these, we are still going to be transitioning to Hebrew Connect. I've been playing with that site a little bit, the live broadcast, and, you know, trying to learn the in and out of it. And so we will be transitioning to that, and it is over the web. So it won't be any big change for those who are already using the web. It will be a big change for those who only call in. Then, you know, the only way that you'll be able to, well, you'll be able to call in the 480 number. I'm going to keep that, which will bring you into this room. So I'll keep that, but the Blog Talk number will probably be going away. And so, you know, it'll be just the room here that we have the meetings, that that glorytoyah.org, the 480 number, and then there will be Hebrew Connect. That we will do these on. It's been put on my heart to do a study of the women in the Bible. And so I've been studying in that vein for a few weeks, and want to dedicate either a Sunday evening or a Saturday evening to that subject for a little while going forward, because there are a lot of women in the Bible, good and bad. And so I want to go down that path, down that rabbit hole, and look into this, because, you know, we I don't think that, maybe it's just me, I haven't done enough toward the women in that regard, towards, you know, studying of the women in the Bible. You know, the roles that they have played, in the stories, whether good or bad. And, I know a lot of the times that, when subjects come up concerning women, it typically seems to be toward the negative, is what I've experienced in the past. I've tried to keep it even keel, but I specifically want to do a deep study on the women in the Bible. And I'll tell you what brought this on. I was looking at the scriptures, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, as saith the law. But when I went to go look for the law concerning that, I could not find a law saying that. I could not find a law in Torah. I could not find a law, you know, through the prophets. And so I was like, okay, what's up with that? Because, you know, typically every law that is quoted in the New Testament, I can find it in Torah, if it's referenced, but I cannot find anything in any of the scriptures, you know, other than telling the wife to be, you know, in submission to her husband. But I don't find anything that says for the women to be silent. It's not there. I haven't found that law. And, you know, so I started looking into all the different venues. And if it's coming from the Talmud, which I haven't looked at that yet, then I will disregard it. Why? Because the Talmud is the rabbinic, is by the rabbis, and there's nothing in the scriptures that say that the rabbis have to be filled with the spirit of the Most High to develop their opinions about stuff and to develop their doctrine. So there's a lot of things in the Talmud that are, I just don't go by, because they are a lot of the times, I believe, and when I have read the Talmudic writings, they appear to be very carnally driven, okay? And then if it's from the oral law, then I have no way of verifying it. Because, you know, they say there's an oral law too that Moses gave orally that wasn't written. Well, then I have nothing to go on. You know, I can't use that. It wasn't passed down in my history, so I can't use the oral law. I only use what's written. So even though the scriptures refer to it, I can't find it. And I've been looking hard, can't find it in the scriptures. So, you know, we're going to do a study in that regard and look at, you know, then we will have to go by, you know, the what do they call it? We'll have to go by the precedents that the scripture sets through the other scriptures. So that's where that came from. So I said, you know, just let me do a study on all the women in the Bible and all the different stories and the roles they played and what was permitted and what was not permitted. You know, I know that there are several prophetess in the Bible. Then we have the judges, we have Deborah, you know, and, you know, so there's, I think I found maybe 40 women in the scriptures in one way or another that we will study and look at, you know, what role they played in the scriptures and what were they permitted to do and what were they not. And I think that I'm going to develop my position based upon that, because it seems like that even in, you know, the New Testament, you have the prophetess that's going around with her husband. He's a prophet, Aquila and Priscilla. And, you know, she's teaching now. And I have to look at that in depth to see who she's teaching. To see that if this was a scripture that was put in there because the Corinthians were just out of order, or the Ephesians were just out of order and they were doing things improperly. So we will see. Nevertheless, you know, just one of the places that we are heading as a group in that study, and, you know, let the word of Yah be true and every man a liar. Anyway, I want to welcome you all. This lesson on tonight, the Word of Yah, is lesson 4 in the Milk series. And again, this is things that every saint should know concerning the Word of Yah. You know, I am surprised of how many people don't actually believe what all is written in the scriptures. And, you know, I believe all scripture. So, we're, you know, even the one where it says, let your women be silent in the churches, it's there for a reason. And, you know, but I also want to, as I say, it said, as it says in the law, then in my understanding and in my studies, Everything that has been referenced in the New Testament concerning the law, I have found it in the law where it was written. Just can't find that one. Okay. So, so we're talking about the word, and this is, you know, these two subjects actually go hand in hand, because when the scripture references something in the law, but you can't find the law concerning it, then what do we do with that? So if it wasn't in the written law, the Torah, it is established in the New Testament. And so we have to take it as it's still a law. But I wanted to actually look at it in more in depth and to, you know, look at scripture concerning it and not make a doctrine or an understanding off of one scripture. Okay. So let's do our statement of faith, and we'll pray in, and then we'll start in on the word of Yah. Okay. Because, you know, if we can't believe the word of Yah, then what are we doing? That is my position on the matter. If we can't believe it, and even Paul says, if you can't believe this, then you are most miserable indeed. You know, and if you if it's not true, then you're most miserable indeed, because you're doing all this stuff according to what's written. And if it's not true, then it's all based upon a lie. And so, and I know that the word of Yah is not that way. And so my literal reading of this word, I really try to go by the verses where it says, don't add to or take away. Don't add to it or take away. But, you know, you still have to put precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Still have to do that in order to come to, a complete understanding or a good understanding. And then, you know, when we understand this and we look into it, then we also have to understand what role that the Spirit of the Most High plays in it. Because there's things that, like I said, you know, as I know, it depends upon what filter you are looking through. And the Most High has to give you the filter with which to look at the word of Yah in order to come up with the truth. If you look at it through the carnal mind, it's not that you won't come up with an understanding, because you will. But is it the correct understanding? And the truth of the matter would be, no, it's not. If the scripture is being looked through, is being interpreted through the carnal mind and the carnal eye, then you will not come to truth. You will come to an understanding and you will gain knowledge, but it will not be truth. And the scripture said we have to worship the Most High in spirit and in truth. So, you know, that's the most important thing when we're reading this word and when we're studying his word, is that we come to truth in the word, what the Most High wants. And that comes from him. It's by his interpretation. It's by, you know, he says the word is of no private interpretation, meaning that I can't come up with my own understanding, because it will be my understanding. The understanding has to come from the Ruach HaKodesh, from the Holy Spirit, the author and the finisher of our word. Okay, so let us do our statement of faith. Pray in, and we will jump into this lesson. And we won't, you know, we're just still going to stop at, the top of the hour, the next hour. I don't want to keep anybody late. We will see what happens. You know, this is on Thursday. If I will try to schedule, we're going to meet business wise. There's one more document that those of us who have been doing this need to do. And so I'll talk to you, those that are involved with it. I'll talk to you and tell you what we need to do. I've been going through and reviewing the application. I went back, you know, to review mine and to start to make corrections where they needed to be made on my application. And then, you know, looking at what must be done and what may be done. And so there's one thing that we're going to do for each other that's going to give our applications more strength, that I found that they say, you know, it's not a must, but it's a good thing to do. Okay, so we will, this one we have to do because we need a witness. Okay, and so we're going to be each other's witnesses. But we will talk about that on Thursday. And that will be, you know, it won't be a blog talk broadcast, but it will be, you know, our normal business meeting. Okay, with that being said, now you ladies should cover your heads. Any men listening, uncover your heads. And let's go before the Most High. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I'm chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just give you glory, honor, and praise. And we lift you up and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. For truly you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy, Father. And there is none other that we will give our praise and our glory to, Father, but to you and to you alone, Father. So we bow the knee to you even now. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And our verse for this evening. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's get verse 16. And the word of Elohim reads, all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so let's jump into this precept. The word of Yah. Now we know that Yah's will for man has come to us today, particularly through his written word, his scripture. That's how most people are introduced to the Most High. This is where we get our laws, our statutes, our commandments, our judgments of the Most High. And this is what we are to meditate on day and night. And we know that we just read in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is inspired by Yah. Inspired means that Yah put the thought and the inclination in some prophet, whether it was Moses or one of the other prophets, that it would be written down for future use. Okay, and so we get our scripture that way. The Bible, which contains scripture, is no ordinary book. Its own witness is that it is inspired of Yah. Countless millions can also witness to its inspiration because they have found life through his word. Through the enabling of the Spirit of Yah, Yah himself has revealed to them, and they can personally testify to his goodness. And you know, and if you have ever experienced anything where you were in trouble, or you know, you were down, or you needed help, and you have gone before the Most High and you have diligently sought Him, then Yah answers prayer and He steps into situations. And we see that written in His Word. And you should have it also as part of your personal life, that you can use that personal testimony to stand on in conjunction with His Word. Because a lot of times people want to just rely on their experience that they've had with the Most High, but they don't want to believe His Word. Okay. Through the enabling of the Spirit of Yah, Yah Himself has been revealed to them, and they can personally testify to His goodness. It is therefore a must that we read and study our Bibles, making it a good lifelong habit. You know, and the reason that I stay in the Milk series so much is that if you're not saved, and if you don't know how to walk before the Most High, if you don't know the milk of the Word, what difference does anything else make? You can have meat, and if you can't swallow it, if you can't digest it, if you're not digesting it correctly, what difference does it make? If you're not saved, then what difference does everything else make? It makes no difference. Okay, if you're not walking according to His Word, then we know that He'll say, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity." So let's go back to that 1 Timothy 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's go back to that verse. Because in it is the clue or the cue, however you want to look at it, as to what every person should be thriving for. You know, as the world is entered into their holiday season and they are, you know, celebrating Christmas and those types of things, and you look at the world itself as a whole, you look at Christianity as a whole, Christianity is not teaching what is in this Word. Okay, it's just not. And people aren't believing according to this Word. And so that's a problem. It's a big problem. Okay. So let's read this verse again. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And we'll read verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, to rebuff somebody, for correction, to correct somebody, for instruction in righteousness, for instruction in doing right. Right not according to man, but right according to whom? The Most High Elohim. He's the one that determines what is right. So the book instructs us how to do what's right according to Him, not according to man. And this here, this is the crux of the matter, is because people don't want to actually deal with the righteousness of Elohim. They want to deal with what man says is right. So, verse 17, that the man of Elohim, include the woman in there too, the man or the woman of Elohim may be perfect through furnished and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what the scriptures are for instruction in righteousness. We know another word for righteousness is lawfulness. Lawfulness in accordance with the word of Yah. What He says is lawful, what He says is right. That is righteousness. And that is what the Bible is designed to do. Now, if you don't accept the Bible as the word of the Most High, if it's just a book to you, if it's just a good, you know, if it's a book with some good, you know, traits to it, some good teachings in it, then you will pick and choose what you want. Oh, I agree with that. I can, you know, I can get with that, but I can't get with that. And that's what a lot of people do. And that's what I'm finding with a lot of people, that they don't believe the Bible 100%. So they use it as a guide to live their life, but they don't really believe 100%. And that can cause a problem. That can cause, you know, you start interjecting our own understanding. We start interjecting and picking and choosing what we will abide by and what we won't abide by. And for me personally, that's a problem. Because it's either all good or none of it's good. I'm one of those type of people. And so when I committed to the Most High, I committed 100% to Him and what is written. And then what He also reveals, there's things that He's revealed to me that I don't teach. Why? Because it's not written. So I can't show you in the book. If I can't show you in the book, I'm not going to teach it to you. Because this is what you have to fall back on. Every saint has to fall back on this book. So, for the perfecting, to make us perfect, by whom standard? The Most High standards, not the world's standards, but by the Most High standards. And so we have to understand this. Why all people don't believe that? You know, I guess, you know, they, you know, when it says all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim, how we feel that we can pick and choose what we want to believe, how we feel that we can pick and choose what we want to accept out of the book, I don't understand. It just boggles me. So all scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of Yah may be adequately equipped for every good work. HaMashiach gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. That's what he redeemed us from. Every lawless. All he redeemed us from all what? Unrighteousness. Because see, people don't put lawlessness and righteousness together. Right is according to what everybody says that it is. But for the saint, right is what the Most High says it is. And our standard has to be left out of it. And so we say we follow him, but not really. Because we will, you know, if the word says to do something and it's contrary to our understanding or our belief, or it's contrary to the way man is running the world, then most of the time people will go with man. So if Messiah gave himself to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good deeds. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. The book of Titus chapter 2. And let's get verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, excited to do good works, according to Yah's standard, not according to the standards of the world. The word of Yah will, one, help us to conform to the image of HaMashiach. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8. And let's get verse 29. For whom he did foreknew, he also did what? Predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, let's talk about this verse for a minute. Predestination. See, people believe that either you are saved or you're not saved. And they believe that once you are saved, you can't lose your salvation because y'all predestined you before the foundations of the world. But they misunderstand these verses. So let's talk about this for a minute. If you develop a plan, if you have a plan for something, and inside of that plan, the goal is to get people to a certain destination. So my plan is to get you to, let's just make it, we're going to make this carnal for a minute. My goal is to get you to Houston. Okay. And so I say, if you do these things, if you do X, Y, and Z, I will buy you a ticket to Houston. Everybody that does what it is that I ask to do, I will buy them. I have already determined that I'm going to buy you a ticket to Houston. Does that mean that I already know who's going to do what I said to do? It doesn't. I have to wait and see who all is going to do what I asked to do. I have already predetermined where they're going to end up at. So anybody that wants to go to Houston, they will do what I asked to do. And then I will buy their ticket. So in that, I don't know who's going to do what I asked to do. The Most High does, but I don't. But because he knows who's going to do it, doesn't mean that he's going to make them do it. Because if that was the case, then he could just say, Brother Miles, I have predestined you for the kingdom of heaven, and I don't care what you do. This can't be undone. You can't lose your salvation when we know that by the scripture, we can lose our salvation. By the scripture, we can give up our salvation by willfully sinning. Okay, so he said, this is what Christianity is teaching. No matter what you do, once you are saved, once saved, what do they say? Always saved. Everybody goes through ups and downs. That's not what he's saying there. I have determined that everybody who does my will, this is where they will end up at. I'm not going to make any one of you obey me. You have to choose to do that. Because had I wanted to make you obey me, I would have created you that way. I would not have given you a choice. I would not have set before you good and evil and told you to choose. I would just set before you a blessing and say, this is the way it's going to be, and you're going to be good. Even if you try to be bad, you couldn't be bad. That's not what he did. So he already predetermined that everybody who obeys him and does what it is that meets his requirements, this is where you're going to end up at. That's predestination. All those who are in Messiah have to walk. See what the scripture says. They have to conform. Let's see what that word means. Conform. Conform, made to resemble, reduced to a likeness of, made agreeable to, suited to. I want to make you conform to Christ. Did Messiah sin? That would be a no. If we're conforming to his image, are we supposed to be sinners? No. We're supposed to become like him. This is why when the churches and when this world organizations are not teaching the scriptures, in truth, they are condemning a lot of people to the lake. Because once we come to Messiah, you know, the more I read those verses and the more I put these other verses with them, this story, this requirement that is coming out of his word is, you know, is straightforward. And the church is just not teaching people correctly. When we come to Messiah, when we repent and turn away from our sins, we're not supposed to go back into anything that we repented of. Because we repented of it, we knew it was wrong. And when we know that it's wrong and we then go back and do it again, then that's willful. We're not doing it ignorantly. And he tells us that if we do it willfully, then there's no blood for that. So we are to stop sinning, become and to conform to the image of who? Messiah, who was sinless. And we can't say that we never had a clean slate. Because the day that we came to him and we confessed our sins, and he forgave us our sins, known and unknown. Because there were things that we were doing that we didn't know were sin, but he forgave us for it. There were things we knew that we were doing, we knew were sin. He forgave us for it. We won't stay on this long. But this is why it's important that we understand it, that we walk in it, that we beg his mercy, and pray that he has mercy on us. Let's go to let's see, not what I wanted. Let me just search it this way. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and let's get verse 31. And when you have it, if you say amen, make sure you're with me.
Amen.
All right, amen. Go ahead and read that for me, Sister Denise.
Okay. And he said Matthew 12 and 34.
12 and 31. Matthew 12 and 31.
Okay. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto man, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto man.
Okay, so all manner of sin and blasphemy. That's what I said. Blasphemy is a little bit different from normal sin. Normal sin is ignorant sin. Willful sin is blasphemy. So he's going to forgive all manner of ignorant sin and what? Willful sin. That's what grace is all about. He says, I'll forgive all of that. Because in the past, did the Most High forgive willful sin?
No.
No, he didn't. He only forgave ignorant sin. So his grace is when he extends his mercy to all willful sin. Now, we read his word to understand what sin is and what ignorant sin is and what willful sin is. And then we are supposed to read his word because Messiah redeemed us. When we came to him and we confessed that we were his, we confessed our sin, we had a clean slate and we were just like him, sinless. And we were to continue to walk that way. And we were continue to read in his word so that we could be equipped for every good work. Zealous to do good deeds, not according to ourselves, but according to his word. So when the church is teaching people that all they got to do is confess their sin, that's true in the beginning. But then they got to understand that, hey, you truly have to be converted. You truly have to be changed. You don't go down in the water and come back up the same person. And so what you confessed, you don't go back and do it. You don't say, I'm still struggling with that. If you know that it's sin, you don't struggle with it. Because to struggle with it and to fall back into it is a death knell. Well, you know, all I got to do is confess it. No, you already confessed it. You said you knew it. And so you can't go back and do it again. But that's what we are being taught. We are to be conformed to Messiah, sinless, walking a sinless life. Now, truth of the matter is, most of us didn't grow up in this word. And so there are going to be some things that we are truly ignorant of. And as we learn those things, if we're doing them, we confess them and we what? Stop them. That we might grow in Messiah. That's how we grow in him. We stop, we or recognize what is sin that we were doing, we confess it, we turn away from it. We grow and we become more like him, more sinless. But willful sin, we're not supposed to ever go back into it. So this is how we are supposed to be growing in him. And this is how we are supposed to be equipped. And this is how we're supposed to be predestined in him. This is how we end up at the final destination. This is what the word is preparing us for. To be predestinated in him. That we are like him. Not trying to be like him. Because the Most High really don't do try either. You won't find that in the scriptures anywhere. Can you fall and make an honest mistake? And I say an honest mistake. Yes. But that's in error. That's in ignorance. Do we get weak in the flesh? Yes. Are we supposed to do what's wrong in our weakness? No, we're supposed to count on him. You see, we want to use this word to make excuses for ourselves. That it's okay. Elohim will forgive me. And you can walk in that. I just learned that it's not a good place to walk. Because there's too many examples in the scriptures where they say, hey, they realized they were wrong and they sought it with tears. And the answer was no. I don't accept you. And so we want to make ourselves what? The exception? Yeah, that was them, but you know, I'm different. I wouldn't take that chance. I would not put myself in that position. That I'm so different from David or from Esau or from Saul or from anybody that willfully disobeyed the Most High. His wrath is pretty severe. So this word is to teach us how we're to walk with him. It is to furnish us to be able to be like Messiah. This is what he came to teach. This is what he's been giving to his people the whole time. These are my laws. These are my statutes. These are my commandments. These are my ordinances. These are my judgments. Do them and live. Do them and live. Implying if you don't do them, you will die. And it's not talking about this world. It's talking about in the next world. So it will help us to conform to the image of Messiah. It will help us to come into that image. And the way we come into that image is that we are obedient to the word of Yah. And in order to be obedient to the word of Yah, you have to what? Study the word of Yah. You have to read the word of Yah. You have to immerse yourself in it. That's so that you can know. And I don't think people who don't do it are going to have an excuse. Claiming Messiah, but you know, yeah, I don't really read your word. I don't really study it. The pastor says to do this, so that's what I do. Second, the word is supposed to impart to us spiritual guidance. Spiritual guidance is really all the guidance that we need. Because the spiritual aspect of this is to make us like Messiah again. That's the whole reason that he came. That's the whole reason that the Most High gave us this word, is that we would be guided by him. That he would direct our paths in which way we should go. And then most people believe this last statement the way I have it written. But when you have understanding, then you will take this more serious to provide us with a guide for this life. But some people just take it as that, as just a guide. No, this is your blueprint, and you don't make changes to the blueprint. You follow the blueprint. If somebody gives you a blueprint for a building, and it says that this beam is supposed to be at 29 degrees at this angle, you don't change it to 30 or 29 and a half because you'll throw the building off. So you don't insert your own will into it. You follow the blueprint. Now people want to say, well, it's just a guy and I got leeway. I can do this or I can do it that way. I can do whatever. The older I get, the more I understand that we can't do it that way. When we do that, we will miss the mark. We will fall short. We will take the wide road rather than the narrow road. So it's not to guide us in that way where we have an option. You're just giving me choices. You're just giving me options. No, it's not an option. And if we just stick with don't add to or what?
Take away.
You can't go wrong. The minute we start adding to or taking away, then we get in trouble. So what is the word of Yah called in the Bible? What does it call itself? Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, and let's get verse 3. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So the Bible is calls itself what? The book of the law. The book of the law of Elohim. His laws. Let's go to Psalms chapter 1, verse 2. Psalms chapter 1, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of Yah, and his law does meditate, and in his law does he meditate day and night. The book of the law of Yah. Somehow people think that the law of man overrules the law of Yah. That's why, even when I'm considering Israel, the state today, and, when I did the lesson, the precept on would Yah reestablish Israel as a democracy? Because a democracy, who runs a democracy?
Who runs a democracy? That's what you asked.
Yeah, who runs a democracy? Who's in charge of a democracy? The short and simple answer is the people.
I'm not sure.
Well, it's okay to be unsure. It's even okay to speak it. But it's the people. So do you think the people are going to base anything on the law of Elohim? Some things they will.
No.
Some things they will. The vast majority of it. But they're only going to do those things where they agree with. But whatever they don't agree with, they're not going to include that. So we're to delight in his law. So if the Most High, if it was a democracy, then if the people are making the laws, then that's how we get. Does the law of the Most High say that it is an abomination for a man to sleep with another man?
Yes.
So then how could we say that we are following the Most High? How could we even say that we are the people of the Most High, and then we make a law that says, oh, being a homosexual is okay. The two don't go together. One contradicts the other. And I'm harping on this because it drives home the point that when men are in charge, men will make laws that to do what they want to do. That's what they will make laws for. They will not make laws to do what the Most High wants them to do. They will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. So does the world acknowledge, and the Christian world, I'm going to pick on them because, just because, does the Christian world acknowledge the Most High? They do. They say they do, right? Out of their mouth, they say they believe in him, right?
Yes.
Out of their mouth, they say they believe in Messiah. But then, when it comes down to doing what they want to do, then they will do what they want to do. So if you say you believe in God, you believe in the Most High, let me do it this way. And let me get this verse. Okay, let's go to Leviticus chapter 18. You know, they're even trying to make it where it is a violation of the policy just to ask if it's a sin for a man to lay with another man. If you just ask the question.
You're trying to make it a sin just to ask the question?
Yep. They're trying to make it a violation of the, you know, of their use policies. If you go to Google and ask, is it a sin for a man to lay with another man? What does that tell you? Let's go to the figure, right? Leviticus chapter 18. Now, this was not considered to be a violation of policy until the Pope came out and said, guess what? The priest can bless same-sex marriages.
Same-sex marriages, yep.
So just be mindful that what we're headed toward. And why it's so important that we be established in this world, but not of it. So Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with what? Mankind.
Yeah.
As with womankind. It is a what?
Abomination.
But in a democracy where you have men creating laws for men, and if the right men or enough other people become corrupt enough, then you can make the laws where it's no longer what? An abomination in the eyes of man?
Yeah.
This is why he says instruction in his laws, in his righteousness. But when you have the church agreeing with the laws of man, then do we have a problem?
That's fine.
This is where we are at. And more, you know, when as I teach and as I study and as I look at what man is doing, more and more the church has become just like the world. What is popular. And then they disregard what the Most High says. So if we study in his law, and his law says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. Nobody, no man, no priest, no governing body, especially church governing body, has the authority to overturn that. But did you just see the Catholic Church do it?
Yes, I did.
And guess what? There's some other non-Catholic churches that are, what are they, Protestant, that have been doing it for a while already. Saying that it's okay for, you know, for a gay priest. It's okay for gay marriages. And even trying to control the web and say, hey, if you even inquire about this, it's against our acceptable use policy. So more and more they're trying to what, stamp out the Most High? More and more they're trying to say that the Most High's laws are what, outdated? Because it doesn't agree with the laws of man. And this, in this, I can't make anybody else do it, but I will stand firm in the word of Yah.
Yes, yes, yes.
1,000. 1,000. And if anybody asks me, you know, what is your position on this? What does the word of Yah say? Because the bottom line is, if he says it's a sin, it's a sin. You can't unmake it. You can't not make it a sin. And I don't care who the Pope is. I don't care what governing bodies there are, whether they are in agreement with each other. They have no authority to override the laws of the Most High. None. That's why we got a lot of things in our society that are contrary to the word. Whether it's in marriage, whether it's in, you know, relationships, whether it is in, you know, what is right and wrong. They have placed their laws over his. And then say that they follow him. So it's why it's important to understand the word of the Most High and why it was given to us. And again, most people believe that the word of Yah they try to make, they you know what they try to do with the word of Yah? They try to make the word of Yah conform to the history of man. So in the past, it was an abomination to be homosexual. That's history. But today, we have a new understanding. And so that history and that cultural context don't apply to us. What's wrong with that picture? Anyway, let's go to John chapter 5. What else are the scriptures for? What did Messiah say? John chapter 5, verse 39. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, Sister Mary, will you read that for us?
Search the scriptures. Put me unto him, you think that you have eternal life. And they
are,
they,
which this is not of me. So this is Messiah talking. He says, search the scriptures. In them you think you have life. But they all point where?
To him.
To him. Okay. I don't think Messiah will come back and say, you know, yeah, it's all right if you hug up on a man and you lay with him and y'all play butt pirates. I don't think he's going to come back and say that's okay. I don't think he's going to come back and tell no woman it's okay for you to be up with another woman. So the bottom line is it points toward him, and in his law, the law that he gave, being homosexual was strictly forbidden. It's an abomination. So we know he didn't practice it either. And he didn't say it was okay. What he did say is, you know what? If you repent and turn away from it, I will what? Forgive you. That's what he said. If you repent and turn away from it, I will forgive you. Romans chapter 1, verse 2. And this is get Romans chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and read it, Sister Denise.
Paul, a servant of Yeshua HaMashiach, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of Elohim, which he had promised afore by his prophet in the Holy Scripture.
So the Bible calls itself the what? Holy Scriptures. Okay. That's what the Bible calls itself. The Holy Scriptures. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, Sister Mary, your turn. You're up.
Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not ran in vain, neither labored in vain.
So holding forth the word of what?
The same.
What did it say? The word of? First part of that sentence, holding forth the word of
life.
Life. That's another thing that the Bible calls itself, the word of life. Okay. So Paul says, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. That's going to be the day of the Lord. That I have not run in what? In vain, for no reason, for nothing. Neither labored in vain. That's what we have to, because when we understand and we walk according to these scriptures, do we do what we want to do?
No.
Do we do what the world does?
No.
So we are supposed to be what? Different. Even going against our own, what, carnal nature? You know, the body might say, hey, I want this. And I want to do that. The mind might say, hey, I need this and I need that. But if it's contrary to the word and for our situation, then we can't do it. And so then we walk. So we want to know that we have not, what, done this in vain for no reason. We have to believe that. Because the world and that somebody who's carnal will do exactly what they want to do. When they want to do it, how they want to do it, don't matter how bad it is. So when we conform to this, we have to do it. We're doing it, and it's not what? Grievous to us. We're not wishing that, hey, you know, I wish I could be doing what they're doing. Okay. So we know that we haven't run this race in vain. But the Bible is the word of life. If we do what the Most High has written and says to do in it, we will receive what? Life.
Life.
And not death. And we're not concerned with this life because we know that unless Messiah comes back, we all going to see death in what, this world?
Yes.
And every generation prays that he, you know, this is the generation he comes back. But we got to understand that we are to live our life and we're looking for the world to come. A city that was built with what? Without hands? Okay, and a city that Yah built, we're like faithful Abraham. Abraham looked for a city that was not built by man, that was built by the Most High. And he died not receiving the what? The promise. But he believed and he knows that it's what? Coming. And that's what we walk in. Every day, you have to walk in that. Okay. Let's go to what did Messiah call the word of Yah? What did he call it? Let's go to John chapter 10. Let's get verse 35. And when you have it, if you will read that, Sister Denise.
All right. If he called them Elohim, unto whom the word of Elohim came, and the scripture cannot be spoken.
So,
can I read that over?
You can.
If he called them Elohim, unto whom the word of Elohim came, and the scripture cannot be broken.
All right, amen. Now, when you read that the first time, did you hear something different? The reason why you wanted to read it again, or what?
Yeah, I want to read it again because I felt I missed it.
No, you read it right the first time.
Amen. I didn't get it.
Oh, all right, amen.
So I want to read it again.
Amen. If he called them, he's talking about Israel, Elohims, okay? Unto whom the word of Elohim came. So the Bible is called the word of Elohim. And the scriptures, Messiah called the word of Elohim, what? The scriptures cannot be broken. So just remember, the scriptures give us power and authority. And when we are walking in it, and when we are doing what he says to do, the scriptures give us power and authority, which make us an Elohim. Because that's what the definition of an Elohim is. Power and authority. The Most High gives what? Power and to whom he will, and authority. And wealth. To whom he will. He says, when I gave you my word, I made you Elohims. I gave you power and authority to bring men unto me. Was Moses an Elohim?
No.
Let's see.
He was to Pharaoh.
There you go. He was to who?
Pharaoh.
Because the Most High gave him power and authority over who?
Over Pharaoh.
So we shouldn't get caught up in this word, but understand what the word means. So the Elohim that we serve, he says he's the Most High what? The Most High power and
authority.
And authority. You don't get any higher power and any higher authority than him. That's what we're saying when we call him the Most High. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. The Most High power and authority. The Most High Elohim. And because he is Elohim, the first Elohim, he gets the capital G. I am the first. I made other Elohims. And I am the last. And besides me, at my level, there is no what?
Elohim.
There is no other Elohim. I know not any. I don't know anybody equal to me. So, you know, when we understand these terms and the definitions that he gives it himself, by saying that I called them, Israel, Elohims. He called Moses an Elohim, right? But he gave us the context within what he was an Elohim, over Pharaoh. He was an Elohim to Pharaoh. I'm going to make you a god to Pharaoh because I'm going to give you power and authority over him. Pharaoh has a god that he worshiped. He called him Ra or Horus. But I'm going to make you, Moses, Pharaoh. I'm going to make you god to Pharaoh. In other words, I'm going to show Pharaoh that his god is not God. Okay, so how were the scriptures, the word of Elohim, the Bible, how were they originally given to us? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And I believe that it's Sister Denise, is it Europe?
You said
2
Timothy
3
and 16?
3:16 and 17.
Okay. 16 something. All scriptures given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of Elohim.
Go ahead.
A that the man of Elohim may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
So all scripture was given by who? The inspiration of Elohim?
Yes.
Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And that'll be for you, Sister Mary. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21.
Knowing this first, that no prophet of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time, but by the will of man. But holy men, when Yah spake, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
All right, so amen. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private, right? Interpretation. You can't have your own interpretation. I can't have my own. No congregation can have their own. Why? For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of who?
Man.
So it don't matter if a group of people agree that a certain scripture means something that it actually doesn't. Just because the masses believe that way, does it mean that it's true? No. Because it's popular, does it mean that it's true? No. Where does the meaning of it have to come from?
Elohim,
the Holy Spirit. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of Yah spake as they were what? That's why when people speak in tongues, when people prophesy, they are not supposed to be speaking from their own will. Who's supposed to be speaking? Elohim's supposed to be speaking. The Holy Spirit. That's why when people speak in tongues on command, I know that it's not Elohim. Because he doesn't work that way. If somebody taught you how to speak in tongues, I know that you were never filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Because it's not something that is taught. When a prophet speaks or when somebody prophesies, it's not supposed to be them speaking. Even if it's in English and in their own native tongue, they're supposed to be speaking by Yah. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yah is supposed to take over and speak through them. That's why if whatever they says, if it don't happen, he said that you are to what? Disregard that prophet? And you shall not fear him. But if what he says comes true, then you're supposed to fear him, because who's actually talking through him?
Elohim.
And who you've been dealing with is Elohim. So people don't have that understanding either. They feel, hey, it's just a man. If Yah is speaking through that person, then you need to fear. Because you're not dealing with that person. You're dealing with Yah. Because Yah says, you are the temple that I desire, right? You are the place that I want to dwell in. You are my temple. And who's going to speak out of the temple then? That's right. When he wants to speak, he'll let it be known. Hey, it's me speaking. And if you don't have discernment, if you don't have his spirit to tell you that, oh, wait a minute, Yah just showed up, you'll say, that's just a man. And Israel has done it all the time. They'll call for the prophet, and then they won't even do what the prophet says to do. Not understanding that the prophet is talking directly for Yah. You dealing with Yah at that point. That's what a prophet and a prophetess is. Yah speaks directly through them. And so this is how prophecy came. These men didn't make this stuff up on their own. They spake it as what? They were moved by who?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Yah. So when it says no scripture of is any of any private interpretation, you know, I had a woman tell me that I was privately interpreting the scriptures. I said, why? Because I don't believe the way that you believe. Well, yeah, we all believe this way. I said, and where is your understanding coming from? Well, this is what pastor says. I said, well, this is what Yah says. Choose who you're going to believe. Because my interpretation is not my own. She shut up. How does the Bible, what time we got? We had, oh, I said we wouldn't go past this. So we'll stop here. We'll pick it up next week at question number 4. How does the Bible describe the word of Yah? And we will pick it up there. Because I know that it is late and I don't want to keep people up late. And we will pick this up on question number 4. So I'll make a note to myself. And we are doing the word of Yah. Any questions on anything that we covered tonight?
No, I don't have any questions.
All right, amen. Let me stop this.